Chamberlain Heating and Air Conditioning text line 563-263-8600. You're listening to AM 860, FM 95.1, KWPC.
Good morning and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Dimensions, moments, the three, like first, second, and third base in baseball, elements of love that have to be received or entered sequentially. First, we have to receive love. Second, we need to share what we have received. And third, we need to give what we have shared and received. And that there's a sacrament to each of these, since this is, as I will make clear, I hope, this is the nature of the way God loves. God's love has these three cyclical components: receiving, sharing, and giving. And there's a sacrament to each. So the sacrament for receiving love, because Jesus came to give us the Holy Spirit so we could receive the Holy Spirit, who is the love of God, who is love. And that's baptism. And there's a baptism in water in the New Testament, but there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which John the Baptizer says that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come to give. And I've been talking about barriers, things that we do to block being able to receive love. I certainly have known people who had real difficulty receiving love for a variety of reasons. You know, I think you could almost look at the human species and say, in our capacity to receive love is our capacity to receive God. People who are unopen, closed to love, are in trouble. They may be dogmatic, but their hearts are not open to love and to compassion. And the older I get, the more I think, man, if you don't have compassion, you're in trouble. That's the heart of the enterprise. Whatever you do, at least be compassionate. And that includes being compassionate for yourself. Well, I've been talking about barriers to receiving God's love. And today I want to focus, what I said I was going to focus on last time, is the need for healing. Healing in order to what? In order to believe in love, in order to believe that we're lovable, in order to receive this love with which we are loved, and not to block God off. We need healing. In fact, sometimes I think that this world is general hospital. We are all diseased in one way or another. Especially, I think our hearts are diseased. Whether we're born that way, whether we learn it when we get here, we can debate, or some combination thereof. But we stand in need of healing. And it's interesting that the name Jesus means both God heals as well as God saves. Healing and saving are actually two phases of the same process leading toward the same end, union with God. It's like I'm thinking one person years ago who I did the wedding for them, and listening to their history, he made a comment that when he knew right off that this was going to be the woman he wanted to marry, he said, I wasn't ready yet. He said, I had to, you know, clean myself up, get my life together, stop with drugs and other things in order to actually be ready to receive the relationship which he finally, thank God, got ready to receive. The time that we need to be healed in order to be into a union. Healing is the evidence of salvation in the New Testament. Being saved inexorably leads to being healed. I started reading this book in 1979 called Healing by Francis McNutt. One of the most important books I ever read. Dr. McNutt, who's been a major force for healing in the healing ministry of Jesus Christ, oh gosh, for decades. He's now in his 80s. He made a point, and I was in the parish then, right? He made a point that that there is no, this can sound funny, but it hit me like a load of bricks, that there's no period in Luke 9 when Jesus sends his disciples out to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. What? There is no period. He sent the first time his gospels out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. No period. Does that mean that the two, proclaiming the kingdom and healing, are connected? Are they in fact inseparable? They certainly were inseparable in Jesus' ministry and in the ministry of the apostles after him. They continued to firmly link preaching the gospel and healing for 600 years. The first 600 years of church history, they faithfully sought to heal as well as to preach. Now, it's interesting. Healing ceased not due to the loss of God's power, but to the loss of human faith. Due in a significant way to a change in theology, certainly not a change in God's will. For this, we could thank Pope Gregory the Great in the 6th century. He said that the age of miracles had passed and that what we needed now is faith. Faith in a former Messiah who would become our future Messiah, but not in one who still acts as a miracle worker today through us. This understanding says our faith will save us, but, you know, not heal us. That our faith shouldn't need or hunger for some miraculous signs of God's presence and love, like healing. This theology says God wills that we bear our suffering patiently, as if it's God's will, as if, oh, heaven forbid, but the people know this. I've had numerous discussions who somehow think that their physical suffering is the way that God is asking them to bear the cross, which is not at all what Jesus is talking about in saying, take up your cross and follow me daily. Rather, the cross is the passion of ministry carrying out Jesus' mission. That's the cross. The cross is to be a worker for God, seeking to bring to humanity the love of God in Christ Jesus, not bearing physical and emotional pain. Well, this attitude says that we're supposed to bear our suffering patiently rather than pray for its ending. It seems to indicate suffering is good for us, redemptive, purifying. So we're supposed to bear it bravely. Now, it's true that suffering can heal our sin-sick souls, but that's not what's going on in the New Testament. Quite the opposite. Jesus strongly, just listen to this before we get into the four kinds of healing, strongly insists that his disciples are supposed to continue healing through the power of his Spirit. Here are a couple of passages. First, from John 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Wow. Should we really take that seriously? Or should we take Jesus seriously in Mark 11 when he says, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And in Matthew 17th chapter, for truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, nothing would be impossible for you. Those are extraordinary words. By the way, a mustard seed is so tiny that if you have one in the palm of your hand, you can barely see it, and yet the mustard bush grows to 8 or 10 feet in height, and about the same width, it's a giant bush. So the miracle is from such something so little, something so significant happens. So what is Christ calling us to do with these incredible words? Maybe it comes down to whether we're actually willing to risk taking Jesus at his own words. As C.S. Lewis said, you know, Jesus is either a madman or the Son of God. And therefore, his words are either the ravings of someone who's just hopelessly deluded, or the promise of one eternally connected in God's Spirit, truth, and power. Well, this book, Dr. McNutt's book on healing, convinced me that, you know, I had been a psychologist, by the way, and we'll come back to that, but that healing was possible, and the problem was that we hadn't really exercised it. We hadn't prayed for it. You know, for years I was a member of the Disciples of Christ Church, and it's nothing against any denomination. However, the pastor of that church in Des Moines went on and on about the age of miracles had passed. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, it was true for the apostolic age, the first, you know, decade or two or three, or generation after Jesus. But after that, now we're looking forward to the future, and we cannot expect any signs or wonders, but we must do what Thomas couldn't do, who had to see proof that Jesus was resurrected. We're supposed to just take it on faith, which I, by the way, have never been able to do. I needed to have some things shown to me, and they were. And healing is at the heart of it. Anyway, after this, reading this book, I had two churches, Tiffin and North Liberty United Methodist Churches, and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to get into this healing thing. So I was blessed to get a dozen members of one of my churches, and we started meeting weekly. And healing, by the way, can be defined as our becoming exactly who God wants us to be at that time. So a physically healed 50-year-old is healed, but is still 50, right? And healing ultimately is God's vision of our eternal well-being. Salvation, healing, is our eternal well-being as defined by God. Okay. There are actually four different forms of healing, and I'm going to try to limit it to this show. So let me tell you about the four forms of healing that come through Jesus Christ, that Jesus brought the power of healing through the Holy Spirit, and there are four overlapping kinds or dimensions of healing. First is the physical healing, the healing of the body, which is what most of us think of right away, and what Dr. McNutt, that was his particular form of healing. Secondly, there is the healing of the soul, which can be divided into two kinds of healing. Inner healing, which is the healing of memory. Inner healing has to do with the healing of the wounds that others have inflicted upon us, parents, whomever. That's the inner healing. Second is forgiveness. Forgiveness has to do, first of all, with our own forgiving of ourselves, carrying around guilt and the whole business of forgiveness. Finally, fourth, there's the healing of the spirit, and that has to do with deliverance, with the demonic, or with habituation, addiction. Deliverance concerns whatever it is that binds us from freedom, whatever blocks freedom. A phobia can be an example of something from which we need deliverance. It has, you know, prevented our freedom. Maybe xenophobia, freedom to go outside, freedom of stranger, or freedom of fear of strangers. Well, healing of the body. That was the first thing I got into. And in this group, we would meet every Wednesday night. We met for a couple of years while I was there. And we would pray for specific people. Sometimes they were there, but often we would pray for them. They weren't there. We would even lay hands on someone as a kind of a proxy. And then someone would find out what happened that week and report back the next week. And we had miracles. We did. In fact, one time I was mowing my lawn, and I had a big lawnmower rider, and I kicked up some stones into my right eye. Oh, it was terribly painful. I went to the doctor, and I, you know, scratched my cornea. It was swollen. It was red. He put a big bandage on it and said, okay, you know, come back tomorrow. We'll see what's going to happen, see how bad it's going to be. So anyway, this was the Wednesday for the meeting. This true story. So I called one of the women who was in, a leader of the group, and I said, listen, I can't come tonight. So, you know, pray for me, but I've injured my right eye. Okay. So it's about 9 o'clock, and then this is the day when if you wanted to change the channel, you had to get up and physically change it. I was watching TV with one eye. So I got up to go over to change the channel, and all at once, whew, this wondrous breeze like went right through me, and instantly, I swear to God, my right eye was healed. I had it bandaged. The pain was gone. And I knew it was healed. So I stood there and looked. It was 9:02 at my watch, and found out the next day that precisely at that time, my friends, 9 miles away, that group is praying for my eye. I didn't know that. Anyway, I took the bandage off, and the redness just immediately was going. And I went the next day to the doctor, who said, well, I can't figure that one out. It was an example of physical healing. And I think this would be a good place just to take a brief break to listen to the weather.
Keep cool with KWPC and the Chamberlain Heating and Air Conditioning text line, 563-263-8600.
Iowa's number one bike shop is Harper Cycling and Fitness, helping you find fun on two wheels every single day. For bikes, helmets, accessories, and the largest selection of Oakley sunglasses in town, head to Harper Cycling and Fitness, 1106 Grandview Avenue, Muscatine.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Overcast today with a chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 68. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 61. High temperatures reach up to 79. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Your home in the country. KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Okay, we're back. Now, let me say another thing about physical healing, which is, and this is very important, it's only temporary. We're still going to die. God is obviously willing to heal us physically. I can tell you more wonderful stories. I will in a minute, but the important thing is that the healing of the soul and the spirit, these can be eternal. That's really central. And the two can work together. And healing can be temporary, and yet both temporary and maybe eternal. Let me tell you a story. This same group, when I was in the summer during the first year, one of the members was a nurse at the intensive care cancer unit at the University of Iowa Hospitals. Anyway, someone from Tiffin, who was not a church member, was dying. And apparently they didn't expect she would, I think it was pancreatic cancer. She was at a point where they didn't expect she would live or even leave the hospital alive. So this nurse said, would you please go? You know, be her pastor. She has no one. I said, okay. Judy was her name. She was a wonderful guy. Anyway, I remember I can close my eyes and see that first visit behind all these curtains to protect from germs and everything. I had to get all this stuff on. And I introduced myself. We had a little visit, and the one thing she was living to see, she was her son, Rory. I want to see my son graduate high school. So, out of the blue, I said, well, Judy, do you... She sort of wasn't a Christian. She'd never been baptized, but she was open, obviously, at her death to anything. And I said, well, Judy, would you mind if I prayed for you? You know, maybe even pray for healing? Would that be okay? Oh, sure. Oh, okay. And so we prayed. It was actually a powerful prayer. That's all I can say. It just felt like, wow, something's going on. Anyway, I left, not expecting to ever see her again. And the next day, I get a phone call from this nurse friend who said, Judy is making a remarkable, miraculous recovery. Guess what? Within a week she left the hospital, she was totally symptom-free. The nurses there said that the understanding is, okay, this is one of those, quote, miracles, unquote, things you just don't even try to understand. So, Judy went home, I visited her. Now, by the way, she would live for 1 year. This is an important story for me. Okay. During that year, there were some healing issues that had to happen in her family. She had a husband and two, a daughter and a son. During that year, they all got baptized. They all became members of my church. They all really opened to God. It was a remarkable year. Okay. Then, just a couple weeks before her son's high school graduation, which, by the way, I gave the benediction for, only Arif did that back in the days when they permitted benedictions. Her symptoms came back. Okay. Another quick story. This is all true. Okay. I, for some reason, going to the ceremony in the gymnasium at Clear Creek High School in Tiffin, Iowa, I took a wrong turn. Why? I don't know. I got good map space. And instead of going to the gym, I found myself at one of the exits, big exit, and I looked out, and there was Judy being helped out of the car by her husband because she needed a wheelchair. So I went out, and I looked at her, and she had tears, and I had tears, and then her husband had tears because we knew what this meant. So I asked, can I push in? She said yes, so I got to push Judy into the gymnasium auditorium for the graduation. I did the prayer. We went to the home after for the get-together. She was dead in 2 weeks. She got what she lived for. So it was, the physical healing was temporary, okay? But the emotional healing, relationship healing, the lives that were changed were permanent. You get that? Fast forward about 10 years. I get a phone call out of the blue from this wonderful woman's son, and he wants me to perform the marriage ceremony for him and his bride-to-be, which I'm thrilled to do. So I did it at another church, but he was a wonderful guy. Beautiful family, beautiful young wife-to-be. And he went on about how that year changed his life, how strong he was in his faith. Life is interesting, isn't it? So there's different dimensions of healing. I'm not going to have the time to finish all this. So I'm just going to go on a bit and then, oh, let me tell you, I am going to put this show onto my website. And by the way, I've had my website completely redone. It's gorgeous. If you have not checked my website, please check it out. DrHalGreen.com, DrHalGreen.com. And this show will be on it. And I'm going to have to wait till next week to finish with the four kinds of Christian healing. And I have other stories. Oh, see, for 6 years, I was in private practice in Des Moines, and I never advertised, friends, but I had a full-time practice. Why? Not only because I had training in psychology and a master's degree, but I believed in healing prayer. And when people were open to it, I would pray with them. Inner healing is really the healing. It's also called the healing of memories. I'll tell you more about that. That's what I focused on, which meant sometimes you'd go back in prayer, as I'll explain next week, back in prayer to maybe a traumatic incident so the person could experience Christ being there and healing can happen. I got some powerful stories to share with you. And then forgiveness, the centrality of forgiveness to open us to finally receive God's love, forgiving ourselves and forgiving other people. And I'm going to connect this to the Lord's Prayer and to what Jesus says in Matthew 18. So if you get a chance, take a look at Matthew 18 this week, because I'm going to deal with it next week. If you would like, if you have any questions you would like me to talk about, questions or issues in religion, I'm your guy. Text me at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com, or send a text to the radio station at 563-263-8600. They'll be glad to get your text, and I would love to respond to your questions. I have been at the religion business full-time since 1972. That's a few weeks ago. So I've been around the block a bit, and I'm still a student, but I sure would like to share some of the things that I've learned, and in this context, about the centrality of finally letting love in. And sometimes that means the healing that has to happen in order for us to be open to let love in. Like in the case of the family I just talked about, there had been some real issues, which of course I'm not going to talk about. I can only say that this healing opened up every family member to love, the love they had for each other and the love God had for them. And I was there. I got to do the baptisms of all four of them. You talk about an emotional, tear-filled event. And because they were such private people, I did it in the chapel in the evening. Wow. It's all about receiving, just letting the love of God in. If we don't get that, we don't get the rest of the message. We may mouth it. We may talk about it. We may do good deeds for others, but we still haven't got it. We haven't let it in. Well, I'm going to invite you to let it in. So next time, I will say more about physical healing. And by the way, and then get into the healing of the soul, the two kinds of healing of spirit. Another quick story about Dr. Francis McNutt. I invited him to First Methodist Church when I was associate there in 1982 for a remarkable weekend of healing prayer. Incredible stories there. And learned there, and then I subsequently worked with Dr. McNutt on a couple of other occasions at St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Dubuque, for example. And his philosophy, and this is so cool because I adopted it and it's true. He said the healing ministry of Jesus Christ is not just given to individuals, but it's given to the church, which means, as Jesus says, where two or more gather together in my name, there I am in your midst, so that anyone at any time can pray for healing for someone if they do it in the Spirit of Christ. And it's much better to do it as a community. Two or more gather together in my name. So healing can happen. So it's really the healing ministry of the church that Jesus is authorizing, not just a specific wonder worker healer. Okay, my friends? Be well. God bless you. And we'll pick it up and complete this, hopefully, next week.
Broadcasting live from the Muscatine Hy-Vee Studios, KWPC Muscatine, AM 860, K236 CF, Muscatine, FM 95.1.
Good morning. I'm Ty Thomas, and I serve as a lead pastor at Calvary Church. Thanks for tuning into the service today, and whether you're in your car, at home, or somewhere else listening, I hope that you're blessed. We understand that we're imperfect people, but we're gathering to worship and remember God's grace in our lives. So let's go live to the service already in progress.